This week, the future turned 50. That's right, the future is middle-aged. Future gets its letter from the AARP. The Jetsons went on the air in September 1962. Hard to believe. Hey, if the Jurassic period was a hit and the Flintstones, Hanna-Barbera figured a galactic spinoff could work. 24 episodes, though, of the future was all the universe could take. The Jetsons, nevertheless, made a huge impact far beyond their ratings. Like that song, sticks in your head. Meet George Jetson.
His boy, Elroy.
It's killing me. Of course, we found the brilliant Matt Novak, writer for Smithsonian Magazine and the BBC, to talk about cultural iconography and Jetson gender roles, all that important public radio stuff. But we got daughter Judy herself, actress Janet Waldo, to answer the question, why those Jetson bleeps and the theme song just stays stuck in my head?
Well, it sticks in my mind, too, and actually it sticks in everybody's mind because it's been on for a long time. The first 24 episodes were on the air for about 20 years before we made 80 other episodes.
Well, of course, we are talking to Janet Waldo, who's the voice of daughter Judy Jetson there on The Jetsons, which turns 50 years old this Sunday. Janet, was that a fun show?
It was the most fun I've ever had. In fact, it changed my whole career. I had never done a cartoon before, and I was terrified, you know, because you didn't have makeup or false eyelashes or anything like that. You just had your voice. So I really found it fascinating.
Did the Jetsons prepare you for all the technological breakthroughs that came later? You must have been really on the cutting edge of all of the future.
Well, we really were. And if you realize, so many of the things the Jetsons talked about are now actually in our lives. We didn't even have a microwave oven when we did the Jetsons. We cooked our food on the food aerocycle, which was exactly like the microwave oven. And the slidewalks, that was created by the Jetsons. And when you go to the airport, you know, you're on a slidewalk. Well, that was all the Jetsons. Do you realize how many of the things the Jetsons predicted have come true? In fact, I think audiences are just a teeny bit disappointed that they haven't got the flying car yet. But they will. I know it's going to happen.
Janet, I'm gathering you are a total whiz on the computer, right?
Oh, I love the computer, except I can't do the whatever it is.
Skype.
Yeah. Oh, and then we talked about the Skype. We had the telephone on the Jetsons. I remember Jane Jetson said, I can't talk because I don't have on my makeup. You know,
so Judy Jetson, we're making a little news here, can't use Skype, the video phone on the Jetsons.
I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to attach it. You know, I have it on my computer.
Matt Novak, there's a lot of tangled up future and past there in Janet's sort of story of how the dreams of the Jetsons that she spoke in the television series became true in her own life. Where do you think we're headed?
Well, I've been studying past visions of the future long enough to never make a prediction. I think that what fascinates me about all of these predictions about jetpacks and video phones is that we do eventually see so many of them today. It's just not necessarily in the form that we were predicting. You know, we were envisioning these, you'd get off the plane and you'd go to a video payphone in the airport. But of course, that's not what we have today. We don't have the video payphone. We have video phones inside of our cell phones and inside of our computers. And it's funny to me how these things kind of sneak up on us, even if they're not in the exact form that we predicted in the mid-century.
Now, it seems like the robot dog on the Jetsons really was the precursor to R2-D2.
I'm not sure about that. I think that it's funny because the Jetsons future was just projecting the 1962 family into the future. And that's why they had actually Astro, a living, breathing, blood and bones dog, because the goal was to place the mid-century family into the future, for better and worse. And that's why, you know, you see George and Jane complaining about push-button finger.
Hey, Mom, what's holding up my egg?
Darn egg buttons always sticking. Ouch!
No wonder I'm getting push-button fingers.
That was a subtle wink at the audience saying, well, you know, you have all of these wonderful 1962 appliances, why don't you appreciate them?
Matt Novak, one of the things that really didn't make it into the future there with the Jetsons is that 60s Leave It to Beaver style family, right?
Well, yeah, and that's sort of the interesting part is that, you know, you see these sort of ideas about what the ideal family is supposed to be that wasn't even really in existence at the time. It's fascinating to me to look at sort of what if the Jetsons had represented all of these different social futures and different ignored futures, how things might be different today, because I can't overstate how big of an impact this one little show had on an entire generation and what our expectations for the future might be.
And, you know, the utopian qualities of the Jetsons, everybody has a robot. We live in a kind of a space zone. We commute to weird computer jobs where we sit at desks and push buttons. That Jetsons future became the Wall-E future, where we actually got really kind of fat, had to leave the Earth because we made it a filthy place. How do you contrast the Jetsons idea of the future with the Wall-E idea of the future?
Well, I think that, you know, there certainly were much more pessimistic visions of the future of the 60s that baby boomers don't necessarily remember today. That's sort of the odd thing is that the Jetsons got stuck into our brains so much that when we think about, oh, it was simply optimistic futures, that is the Jetsons. That encapsulates every techno-optimistic future that we've ever had. Although, you know, when you look at the early 60s, there were all of these other things that were happening. You had Sputnik and you had the Cold War and Bay of Pigs and all of these other things that Americans were really worried about. But the fact that all of these kids who saw the Jetsons got optimistic about the future, that's sort of what they remember.
Well, you also have the right stuff. I mean, you have the Mercury astronauts, the Gemini astronauts, then the Apollo astronauts. Janet Waldo, you know, I've conflated, obviously, the dog, which was real, as a robot, but there was a robot on the show.
Yeah, Rosie the robot.
And she was very nice, that robot.
Oh, she was great. She was intelligent. She helped the kids with their homework. And we have our own Rosie. We call her Rosie, which is our little security system. She talks. And I think that we're going to have real Rosies very soon who are going to do everything for us.
Let me tell you, there's one thing that I'm really happy about, Janet, and that is that the Jetsons' future didn't wipe out radio. It still exists.
That's true. And radio, the people who worked in the Jetsons were all from radio.
You know, Janet, before we go, whatever happened to Judy? Did she grow up, become a teacher, or be in a rock band? What actually happened to Judy?
Well, the only Judy I really know, seriously, is myself. And I can say that she's very happy. She still likes men. Judy was very, very crazy about guys and still is. And she was just a fun character to play, and I still play her.
Priceless. Janet Waldo, the voice of Judy Jetson, thanks so much, and good luck whatever future transpires in your life.
Good luck to us all. I'm really looking forward to every new day.
We also spoke with Matt Novak, writer for Smithsonian Magazine and BBC.com, who writes about past visions of the future. Next week on the show, we start a new series, Don't Mention It. We'll be looking at the biggest national issues that aren't getting mentioned in the presidential campaign. Start making your list. I'm John Huckenberry. This is The Takeaway.